Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers, as usual, on a Monday evening. Lots of sunshine outside today. Temperature up to 40 degrees this afternoon in the Sioux. Who'd have thought that a week ago? We've been in the deep freeze for quite a while now. But a great day, and a day after the Lakers had their annual Blue Liner banquet yesterday at the Sisler Center to celebrate the team this year. And coming off a couple tough losses, Damon Witten's with us now, and Ferris State beats the Lakers 4-1 and 3-0. And C.J. Mott, the goaltender named Defensive Player of the Week in the WCHA just this afternoon for his effort, allowed us one goal, and that came pretty early on Friday night. Other than that, we had a lot of trouble with the offense, but we're a playoff team. We're going to the playoffs this weekend. We've got a series at Minnesota State. And that'll be tough, that in a minute. Let's go back and take a look at Ferris State, Damon.
Well, you know, you mentioned we only got one goal. We had two goals. And then, you know, that was such a huge momentum shift in that game. We had a great start, I thought, Friday night. We got the first goal. And then shortly, you know, that power play goal that we've been looking for, we got it Friday night. And I thought it was a great play. Jason Bird can shoot the puck. He had a great one-timer to the net. Bryce Schmidt's high slot where he's supposed to be, and it goes in off his foot. After review, they waive and disallow the goal. So you go from being up 2-0, about 10 minutes into the second period, all the momentum, all the life, you know, crowds into it feeling good, and they step out and disallow it. And, it was difficult, and it was the wrong call. The WCHA have spoken with the league office quite a bit. They've apologized for the wrong call, and, we're really disappointed that with the technology we have and, the things we do to overcome them, they still get it wrong. So, you know, it's difficult. So it was, and I think everybody on the ice was so sure it was a goal that there was a little bit of an emotional letdown on that. You know, and that's something we've struggled with all year long, is kind of maintaining the highs and the lows and handling the emotion of the game. So that was a big turning point of that game. And then, 4 or 5 minutes later, they came down and they were able to make it 2-1. And, so a big momentum shift from that, in that point forward. And, you know, from there, Mott, closed the door on us on Friday night.
Yeah, he did a good job. C.J. Mott kind of earned that weekend honor that he got as defensive player. That's the eighth time this season the Lakers have been shut out on Saturday night, and that kind of put a damper on senior night a little bit, but it was still a nice affair. That's your first senior night, Damon. What were your thoughts about that? It's kind of a longer affair than most schools and teams get, but it's a tradition here at Lake Superior.
Well, yeah, just it was a little bit humorous before the game. Coach Daniels and I had a chance to talk, and we were both talking about not playing our number one goaltenders. C.J. Mott was in a position to break the all-time Ferris win record,
which he did.
Yeah, which he did, and you know, and Gordy Dayfield was playing for the single season save mark for us. And,
you know, that.
Yeah, and we still wanted to jump, Alabama Huntsville potentially with, any more points than they got on the weekend. So, you know, we did joke a little bit about what goaltenders we'd go with and who we were going to play. And obviously we both were their number one goaltender. So that was a little bit of a unique situation before the game. Yeah, you know, it's always tough after the game, sometimes coming off a loss, to give the seniors their deserving accolades for the career they spent here at Lake State. You know, really appreciate the Blue Line Club and everybody who had the effort to put on what I thought was a fantastic event. I mean, I heard a lot about how we honor our seniors and what a great ceremony it was, and it truly lived up to its billing. You know, and those guys deserve it. I've talked so much about them this year, handling a difficult year and moving us forward and keeping things together. And those of you who are at the banquet and are listening, you know, we talked about, you know, families have difficult times and families have dysfunction, and, you know, and they can go the wrong way. And our team could have done the same thing with that tough first half. But Dom Itziotti and Perfetto just did a very good job of leading our team on and off the ice to get us into the playoffs, to get us to this point, and we appreciate it. So they deserved it. Thought it was a beautiful ceremony, both Saturday post game and then the banquet on Sunday was equally remarkable. And I, again, appreciate everybody who does so much to support this program and put on events like that. It was great for our seniors, and I know they appreciate it as well.
Yeah, and these three young men gave a little talk on Sunday afternoon at the banquet, and that's always a highlight. They're not public speakers necessarily, but they usually do a really good job because they can get emotional sometimes, but they kind of bring just about everybody. They thank everybody, but they do a really good job of talking about the program too.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, they're obviously much more mature than a lot of our roster, and they've been through it all, they've seen it all. So, you know, they do a great job of representing us, and they deserve that chance to thank people and reflect back on what Lake State's meant to them. So, you know, we're really happy and appreciative that they represent our program in the way that they do. And they're going to be big losses. You know, it's going to be a real difficult senior class to lose. You know, we talk a lot as a staff. We wish we had more than 1 year with those guys. But, you know, that's the nature of college hockey. So we'll wish them well. And they still got a lot of work to do for us here over the next couple of weeks. So they're not done yet.
Now, the both games this past weekend, you did the same thing you did against Northern Michigan in the Saturday night game when you won 3-0. You went with kind of a seven-man defensive rotation there, and you did that both these games this weekend. Were you happy with that? Will you continue to try that against Minnesota State, or you think at this point maybe we need another forward in there?
Well, it's both. You know, we like parts of it for sure. You know, I think our D have done pretty well. We'll talk about some of our second half defensive achievements that we've hit as a team, and you know, that necessarily hasn't been the issue. You know, and up front we need some guys to earn it. I thought Zach Lesh went in and did a real strong job Saturday night, so he should have put himself in a real good position to make the trip and play for us. Jason Angus, same thing, he's played strong. And you know, we've got to make sure that the guys we put on the ice can be even or plus players, and that's been difficult for us at times when you look at who's been getting scored against. And you know, we've got to be great defensively. We're certainly, it's no secret we're challenged offensively and have not had a strong offensive output. So we can't outscore our mistakes, and we've got to be that good defensively. So the guys that get their chance to play have got to make sure they're rock solid and can't be out for goals against.
Yeah, I thought you mentioned him a few minutes ago. Jason Bird played pretty well in both games for you this past weekend. I don't know what the assessment was there, but he's kind of been in and out of the lineup in the second half a little bit. But he adds an element of skating ability and a little bit of an offensive thrust as a defenseman. And I thought, you know, we never go through a Laker hockey show without talking at length about Gordy Dayfield. He's just been outstanding, and I thought he was very good again in both games this past weekend.
Yeah, he was, you know, and I, you know, the game Friday night, I thought early on we definitely limited the grade A's, and then Ferris had a good push back in the second period and controlled play there, and where Gordy responded well. But he's been so rock solid, and he won all kind of accolades at the banquet, well deserved. And again, we'll talk a little bit about some of our achievements in the second half, but Gordy's a big piece of that. In front of him, though, it's not just Gordy; it's the way our defensive core has grown and developed as the year has come along. You know, we talk so much about being so young back there and lacking experience. Well, that's not the case anymore. A lot of our guys have made big strides over the course of the season, and they do a good job in front of them. And the way we play, you know, a lot of the shots he faces in our system, we think we play the odds and the percentages pretty well for Gordy to have success. And then when he does have to make that big game-changing save or to keep us in there, he's able to do that as well. So he's been fantastic for us, and that's why he shared the MVP of the season with Stephen Perfetto.
Yeah, I thought he made a lot of big saves early on Saturday night. We kind of got a little bit shaky there in our own zone a few times. And that Ferris State team is a lot better, I think, than where it is in the standings, too. They've got some outstanding skaters, and they're pretty solid defensively, and you throw Mott into the mix, and they should probably be better than where they are.
Yeah, you know, they're a little bit similar. They've had their offensive struggles this year. They're not a high power offense.
Not good on the power play.
Yeah, and that struggled as well. So they lack maybe a couple high end difference makers, where if they had that one or two players, then I think you're exactly right, Bill. They'd be much higher. And, for us, I thought the matchup comes down to skating. I think they're a good skating team. Their biggest defenseman is 5'10". From there, I think they play 2 5'9" defensemen and then 2 or 3 5'8" defensemen. So they lack size, but what they lack in size, they really make up for it in mobility and quickness. And, you know, that puts our forwards under some pressure to create offense. And that's the way they build that team. And, you know, I like the way they play. I like the way they skate and the mobility of their decor.
Yeah, I thought there was an interesting play on Saturday night during the game. And I can't recall, I think it was, second period of Saturday night, because Stephen Perfetto was trying to enter the offensive zone going toward the north end. And Binkley came over and just grabbed him on the back and threw him inside the zone offside, which should be an interference penalty. It wasn't called. You guys yelled about it on the bench. I was yelling about it on the air. And the next play, referee gave them a penalty. I think he was making up for it.
Yeah. They've got a little edge to their game. I think, you know, part of that undersized decor, I thought we did a pretty good job of managing pucks at the offensive blue line, and we would chip it by them, making the smart play and the right play at the offensive blue line. As we stepped around them, they'd have a cross check all the time. You know, they couldn't do much else because of their size, and that we were screaming about that one just before as well. So they did make a bit of a makeup call, but I thought the refs, set a little bit of a tone that they were going to let them do that all night, and they do a good job of that, of those holdups.
Do you think at this point, with the Lakers' inability to do much on the power play, and we've been not very good on the power play, we've tried a million different things. Like you said, we had a goal there on Friday night, and they took it away from us, and we didn't do much after that with a power play. But do you think that other teams are now saying, hey, we can play pretty footloose and fancy free with these guys, because if we take a penalty, they won't score on it?
I'm not sure about that, but I think when we get in the power play, I would the scouting report would be, let's pressure and let's go aggressive. And so I think we see pretty good pressure for most teams, and we've taken some steps with those young guys handling some of that and getting more experience in that realm of it. So I'm not sure anybody comes out and says, let's take penalties. I think that's a recipe for disaster. But like a lot of our second half statistics, it's grown. You know, the number's so low from early struggles, but 2 weeks ago it was about double in the second half than it was in the first half, our power play. So it's grown, and then you take away a goal that should have been Friday night. So there's been some signs of life. There's been some better puck movement, some better touches, but certainly not where it needs to be. And boy, if it could be up 8-10 percentage points, what a difference it'd be in the second half with how good we've been defensively most nights.
Yeah, we should get into some of the statistics you've got to Damon, and talk about that. The second half has been a lot better than the first half was, for sure. I thought it was really, really good in January, and it's kind of fallen off a little bit in the recent games. But you're right on that point too. Ferris State sent two men, their forwards on their PK were right up, and they got a good PK. They're like 11th in the nation, I think, on the killing penalties. They were right in our faces. We didn't have a whole lot of time at the top to look and try to make a play.
Yeah, they try to pressure, and they skate, so they can do it. They're a good pressure team, and that's where we want to get to. You know, like I said, Coach Aubrey, he came from Mercyhurst and ran their unit over there, and they led the country in shorthanded goals last year. I think my unit over at Michigan Tech was third or fourth in the country in shorthanded goals. So that's a look our fans can get used to. We're going to be a pressure unit and try to shift momentum of games by being aggressive penalty killing. So we'll do that for sure. And you want to get in some of these notes we talked about the banquet, Bill?
Sure, let's hit it.
So just a couple areas. And I think our players were surprised to hear them too, and it was a little startling. So maybe we should have shared them earlier. But, certainly coming out of the gates after the first half, we won the Florida College Hockey Championship, which was great. You know, you don't get many chances to win a championship in college hockey, and the first tournament Lake State has won since 2001 and 2002. So it's been a long time since we've had a chance to celebrate a championship and get together and take the picture and held the cup. So that was a big accomplishment. I was really surprised as I was looking at some notes to make the banquet. We've talked as a staff when we came in, we lost four defensemen, three seniors, Kevin Churchman, three senior goaltenders. So, pretty good hockey minds, and you can see it's going to be a bit of a challenge on the back end to replace that experience and whatnot. Well, last year they had zero shutouts on the year with that experience, those senior goaltenders, those 4D. So here we are in a new season. We play four or five freshman D. We play a freshman goaltender. Had four shutouts. So I think that's pretty remarkable with a team that young in those critical areas. So really, really impressed with that. Another one that pops out, first half, our goals against average as a team was 4.1, which is pretty horrendous. It ranked us 56th of 59 in college hockey. The second half, since Florida, we're 2.25, which puts us at 16 of 59. So we've jumped into the top 20 in goals against average. Going into the Northern Michigan weekend, we were ranked 5 in the country in the second half in our goals against average. So just really remarkable being that young and in a freshman goalie, all those things is pretty spectacular in terms of our growth and development from the first half to second half. The last one that really stands out, penalty kill is pretty good too. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's really jumped and developed. Save percentage in the first half, it was 894. They're ranked 64th in the country. Second half, it's .943. So Gordy Dayfield, I think, has played every game. 94 save percentage to rank fourth in the country since Christmas. I mean, that's remarkable with the amount of shots he faces and, the teams in our league that have the high-end offensive skill. And, really, really proud of our team, the way we've stayed with it, the way we've grown and developed, you know, unfortunately, the other side of it, if we were better on the power play, if we could chip in a little bit more offensively, you know, I think our record would look really different potentially. I think we had, 8 one-goal games and a couple of those that had some empty net goals in there to make it a 2-goal game, but basically a 1-goal game. So, you know, you're that close, and I think that really bodes well for our future to play in those tight games, to go into North Dakota and get that big lead. You know, we couldn't hold on to it. We got to learn and grow from that, but there's been a good growth. There's been a good foundation, and hopefully we can use that in a tough playoff environment in Mankato to really set a tone moving forward.
Yeah, it's we're going to talk about Mankato when we come back from the break. We'll take our first break tonight. You're right, though. I agree. I think this team's much better second half than it was first half, and I see them play all the time. So, you know, I feel way better about them right now, and I think the maturity is coming, and they're going to be a team to be reckoned with next year. I'm not thinking we're going to finish in the top four necessarily, but we're going to be better than we were this season. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more from the Antlers on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Run as the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
All righty, we're back at the Antlers on a Monday night. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten, and the head coach of the Lakers has some questions he can answer here. We'll get into those in just a moment, but I want to get into a little bit about Mankato here. We're off to play the best team, at least if you look at the standings in the WCHA by virtue of having won first place in the McNaughton Trophy. Gonna be tough. We're gonna play them in their building. However, I recall a series in January where we played pretty darn well against them, and they knew they were in a series.
Yeah, well, it's not even maybe in the WCHA, it might be in the country, the best team in the country. You know, them, we played them and North Dakota, and, you know, I think Mankato's forward group is deeper and better. And, you talk about pace. I mean, they play with pace. So we better be fresh. We better be ready to skate. And, you know, we're going to tweak our practice schedule accordingly to make sure it's just all about being fresh and ready to play. And, you know, you also have to prepare in the back of your mind that it might be a 3-game weekend. And that's, unique for college hockey and, you know, unique for our team as well. So, it's a tall task. No question about it. They're a great team. They've shown that all season long in and out of conference. And, I believe they're still number one in the pairwise ranking. So, they're a good team. The pace and the skill is as good as there is in college hockey. So it is. It's a good task for us. You mentioned our trip down in January and, you know, they had a couple special teams goals late that we didn't like some of the calls, but they were two tight games, much different from early in the season before we kind of took some steps and got better. So, you know, we can go in there and do it. It's not easy. It's going to have to be just like it was in Florida to go in there and just be rock solid defensively and really limit their offensive mistakes. We've got to be great defending the rush because they're very dangerous there. And, you know, you've got to be alert of certainly their top three or four players as well, but they can hurt you in a lot of ways. So, you know, we talk so much about it, but we've got to have 60 minutes from every single guy. If we have one or two guys not ready to play or off their game, then they can have a guy throughout their lineup that can really hurt you. So it's a really heightened sense of awareness you have to have in a matchup like this.
Yeah, that brings us, we'll throw in one of these questions we got from the fans who are here, and I want to thank all the fans for being here not only tonight but all season. We've had great crowds here at the Antlers. We really appreciate that. It makes for a much better program on air. But what's the atmosphere in the locker room right now heading into the postseason? It's been a really tough year. We're kind of down in that we don't score. You said a lot of the guys really like some of the stuff you pointed out at the banquet. Are there any guys on this team who don't want to go play now? They just want to have the season be over?
Well, I certainly hope not. And if they're in that locker room feeling that way, then we'll do our best to get them out of there really quick. You know, there's a lot to play for, and that's why you play the games. I mean, playoffs are known for huge upsets and great stories, and we're looking to do our own this year. Certainly, if we're able to go in there and win a couple hockey games, it'd be the story of college hockey, and what a great story it'd be. It'd be not too much different than Florida. You know, Jeff Jackson made a comment before that championship game that everybody thought Lake State and Notre Dame would be playing, but they thought it'd be in the consolation game, and it was in the championship game. So we've got that same opportunity to do that, and that's the goal, to go in there and do that. So are we fragile? No question about it. I mean, like you said, it's been a long season. It takes its toll a little bit, but you know, I think guys responding, and again, maybe poor on us to not show our guys some of this growth that we've had in the second half earlier in the year. But I think for them to hear the numbers and the growth we've had and the things we're doing, it was really, encouraging for them to take some of the coaching and the structure and the things we're doing and make those drastic improvements. So, you know, we've got to believe and we've got to know that we can go in there and do it. I said, that's why you play the game. You can beat anybody in every given night in college hockey, and that'll be our goal.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, the Friday night game in there in January, we took like four straight penalties within 8 minutes in the third period of the game, and that took us right out of it. They scored two power play goals, and it was a close game. I think it was tied.
It was a tied or one goal game. They might have been up one, but maybe it was tied, and you know, my coach Hastings and I had a couple heated words after. They're a great hockey team, and
yeah, they are.
I didn't like the fact that, in my perception, I thought they maybe went down a little bit easier than they should have. When you're playing four or five freshman D, and these junior senior forwards are ending up in some positions on the ice, you think there might be a little bit of embellishment. And I think they're too good to need to do that. You know, that team has too much skill, too much talent to what I thought they played maybe a little bit that way in embellishment. So, but at the same time, we have to adjust. We can't put ourselves in those positions to allow the referees to make those calls, and that'll be a big point of emphasis this week. And it's tough because they skate so well, so you're going to get put in some positions where, you know, you might have to reach out a little bit or give a little extra hook or something like that. And they're smart hockey players. They know when to help that call out and draw some penalties.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting series. It is Central time. It'll start at 7 Central time, which will be 8 o'clock here on Friday, Saturday, Sunday if necessary, and we'll be there. And that's kind of a strange building, too. It's kind of like a gymnasium more than it is an ice arena, and it's hooked right onto the hotel, and they have a lot of amenities and a lot of stuff going on during a game. The crowds weren't overly big when we played them or noisy. I would think they would be this weekend with it being a playoff
season. Yeah, you think so. And I know the last few weeks with them closing in on the regular season championship, they had Michigan Tech in there a couple weeks ago in a huge series. So I know the crowds have really finished strong. I believe it might have been their first ever sellout a week or two ago, or maybe the first this year.
So,
they finished on a strong note in attendance and things like that. And they've been a little bit up and down to finish. So, you know, they're not playing quite as well as they were earlier on. And hopefully they'll overlook us a little bit. And again, we can go in and steal a couple, greasy playoff games.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens there because they're very good. And, all you can do really is concentrate on your defensive game. And everybody, as you said a few minutes ago, has got to do a job and play with high intensity. I think this team plays pretty darn well when the intensity level's up there, like Saturday night at Northern, Friday night at Bowling Green, the two games against Bemidji, the intensity level was very good there. We played hard all night long, and we got rewarded.
Yeah, and even I thought Friday night our start once again, you know, I think that intensity was there, and then, you know, some little setbacks. We've had a hard time dealing with it, whether it's a lack of upperclassmen or experience, whatever it is. We've had a very difficult time sustaining some of that. And I think, you know, the other part is we probably rely too much on our top players, and that's, you know, that's on us a little bit as coaches to balance those minutes. But, you know, those guys have been so big for us and really feel like difference makers. You know, you look at the way Perfetto's playing right now, and, you know, we need him to log more minutes than you'd like him to play ideally. And that's why staying out of the penalty box is so critical. You know, we use our top guys to kill, and we've seen that growth in the second half. I think we went from 70% to 86 or something like that in the second half. So our penalty kill has been significantly better. Part of that is we kind of figured out the right personnel to use in the second half. But part of that is the personnel is our top players, and you want them to be fresh to play 5-on-5 and power play. So we really got to make it an even strength game and not get sucked into taking penalties.
Well, you know, that brings up another question too. It has been a really long year. We've made some horrendous trips. We've talked in the past on this show and pregame about the long trips we've had to make, sleeper buses and all the places we've had to go up to Alaska twice. Is this team tired right now?
You know, I don't think so. I think we're all right. You know, again, Friday night, the start's very good. I thought we finished strong. Saturday night, you know, again, I thought we're there, we're playing. We probably, you know, lack enough depth to once again, you know, we're dressed in 7D instead of all the forwards, and that hurts you in a game. It makes it difficult, but, you know, we talk a lot as a staff and try to put the right players dressed for the game and on the ice. You'd like to be able to, the way we play, I'd like to be able to roll lines a little bit more because we do try to play up tempo and forecheck aggressively, and that's not easy. You know, it takes a lot of our guys, and again, once you're using your top guys for power play penalty kills. So I don't think we're fatigued. I think we're okay that way, and again, man. Well, this week will be real light. We won't do a lift. It was real brief, 40 minutes today. And, you know, guys get excited. It's warming up. The playoffs are in the air, and guys are ready and excited to play.
Okay, it's a long trip. This is one of the longer trips we made. Last time we did it, you took the sleeper bus there. Is there, what's the plan here this week to get this team be there as rested as it can be?
We're finalizing some of the details. It looks like we will practice probably Wednesday afternoon here in town, and then load up the bus post practice on Wednesday, probably drive to Wausau or Green Bay, somewhere in that area, get in there, you know, not too late, but we'll grab dinner wherever we arrive, check in, and then it's kind of a little bit more leisurely morning. There's not a huge rush to get to Mankato once you're there. I think we'll have about four and a half hours left on the bus, so we'll break it up to the majority Wednesday post practice. Then you can get in Wednesday late afternoon, check in, get a nice lunch, and get a little bit of a walk or dynamic stretch in. Then we'll have ice 6 o'clock Thursday night to get a skate in their rink and be ready to play.
All right, sounds good. I think that's a good plan. These overnight things can take it out of you a little bit too. Go back to this past weekend. A couple of guys who stood out in my mind were Steven Perfetto and Gus Corrielli. They were kind of flying around all weekend. Perfetto's been really good all season. He's been particularly good the second half of this season and very effective.
Yeah, I mean, you're dead on, Bill. Strong all year, but his second half, he's just been at a different level. I think, you know, most nights he's certainly our best player, and there's a lot of nights he's the best player on the ice. And so he's done a great job leading us. He stays in great shape. He's got a little bit more of a unique diet that I believe is a big part of why he can play the way he can. I mean, we use him in every situation, major minutes, big face-offs, penalty kill, power play. I mean, just eats minutes at such a high level. So he's been great for us, him and Gus Corrielli. And Gus, congrats to Gus, but he won our Most Improved Player Award on Sunday afternoon there at the banquet, and well-deserved. I mean, he's showed tremendous growth, and I guess as coaches or for myself, I probably don't see it as much. I think as players maybe voted a little bit more based on last year coming into this year. But for us and our staff, he's been pretty darn good all season long. So I'm not sure I would have voted him most improved because, again, he's been pretty good for us all year long, and maybe some of that's based off of last year as well. But him and Steven have good chemistry. They kill together. You know, we've kept them together most of the year here, and they're playing at a high level. And, you know, we get one of our injured players, good chance he'll be back, and we missed him. He helps our lineup quite a bit, so hopefully he'll be back as well and we'll be fully healthy.
Yeah, we're talking about Matt Johnson there. He missed both games on the weekend, and I'm assuming he'll be okay. He'll be able to make this road trip. How do you decide? Can you take more guys on this trip because it's a playoff series, or do you have to stick with the 22 and play 20?
You can take more guys, but you have to submit your travel roster.
Right.
So even though you might travel, if we are still on spring break, we would probably look at taking more guys, but doesn't make sense, I don't think, to miss class and do all that when you can't play anyway. So we'll probably stick with the travel roster that's eligible to play. And that's, you know, part of that is Mankato earned home ice, and the top four seeds did. So if we're going to say, well, you can take whoever you want and play whoever you want, it's a little bit of a disadvantage for the home teams who've earned home ice, and they can play whoever they want. So that's the way the league set that up. So yeah, with space on the bus, the long trip, and not the ability to rotate guys, my guess is we'll probably just take our traveling party, our playing party.
It'll be interesting to see who goes then. And you're saying probably Matt Johnson's well enough he can play?
It looks like it will be. Yeah, I think he'll be fine. And whether he can go Friday or get inserted Saturday for fresh legs, if he's healthy enough and clear to play, then he will make the trip.
Alrighty, good. Sounds good. We're going to take our second break here tonight. We've got a lot of questions from the fans. We'll get into those. When we come back, we'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Alright, we're back for our third segment of the show tonight. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten, Mark Sinangelo's here, engineering at the Antlers. Jimmy DeSano doing that back at the radio station. Chris Sable not here again today. We haven't had Chris on in about 2 months now, but certainly patronize the Antlers. They are tremendous sponsors for this show, and we really appreciate them being on board every year. Let's get into some of the questions, Damon, that we have from the folks who are here tonight. There's a question here about cleaning the ice, and this is something I've noticed too. Most of the places we go to, when they have a media timeout, a crew comes out and cleans along the boards, and they don't do it in front of the net here like they do almost everywhere else. Is that a something that we should worry about or we're supposed to do or what?
You know, I've made it kind of on a long-term list or something to address this summer to make sure. It would be nice to get a crew in there. And it's actually, I'm glad somebody asked because, so we don't do it right now. I think almost, probably most rinks do. There might be one or two that do not. We might be one of the few rinks that could actually almost get away with it. I think our ice crew does such a phenomenal job, so I'm glad this got brought up. Probably missed somebody, but Rich, Jesse, Dan, Neil, are unbelievable. Steve Gregory, Ken Hopper. I mean, they love it so much. They're so into it, but their ice maintenance is as good as I've seen anywhere. So, a lot of places it'd be impossible to play without doing it. And actually, like, it doesn't affect our game a whole lot, but, it is something I think I'd like to add it in, get, some local youth players or some people involved to come out and clean it up a little bit. There's a little build up by the benches, by the net, as you mentioned, Bill, but, you know, kudos to our ice crew because I think it's the best in the league. They do an unbelievable job and they're so supportive. It's a treat to come in every day because they got a smile on their face. They're excited to be there. Love the program. So I love those guys and they do an awesome job.
Okay. That's very good. And it's something, you know, everywhere we go, I think they have a little crew comes out. Usually it's young people, like youngsters will come out and skate around and clean it up.
Yeah. But it's kind of cool to get some local of our youth hockey players out in their jersey or Laker jersey and they get to kind of skate out and, enjoy the moment a little bit. So I will add that into our mix next year.
Okay, is there a recourse, any recourse at all when there's a bad reffing call or something? I mean, you talked about that earlier. You can call Greg Shepherd. You can complain, but, what happens?
Yeah, I gotta be careful how I want to go with this, and what's fair to, you know, there is at times, there hasn't happened very often about a release or a announced suspension. I remember one or two times in 8-10 years in the WCHA. So it happens on rare occasion. Boy, I mean, that happened. I was texting, Shep mid-game. The game wasn't even over. I said, hey, you got to watch this right after. And he was on it. And again, usually they're really protective of the referees. They don't say much, but, I give Shep some credit that he, Greg Shepherd's our head of officiating. And he said, you know, they made the wrong call. And, you know, what can you say? He apologized. And, probably the most disappointing part was Saturday. Again, I want to be a little bit careful what I say here. One of the officials was fantastic. He came up, he apologized and, you know, felt really sorry and bad about it. The other guy just kind of said, it is what it is. And I was pretty taken aback that would be his attitude. You know, this is a big deal to our kids to, you know, the way I feed my family and it's a career for us. And, you know, for them to say it is what it is, I was really disappointed. And so Shep got another text and an email before our game ended that night about that situation and he didn't like it. Now, I don't know if there's what's going to become of it, but, it sounds like it'll be addressed with that particular ref and it should be. That's not right.
Yeah, we'll know this weekend if he's working our game. We'll know that.
If he's at our game, Shep's going to get another text before the game starts as well. So I don't anticipate seeing him and, he better not be there.
Okay. Somebody pointed out that today at Rotary, Zach Lesh was there talking about Swish for a Wish. Was the basketball team somewhere where it couldn't be there to do this, or is the hockey team entering the 3-on-3 tournament that he was talking about? I think Zach Lesh, if I remember right, is a marketing major, and he's a junior, so he's probably involved with that in the marketing end of things.
Yeah, it might be more for class purposes. Boy, yeah. I hope our guys aren't entering in it. You know, they're not basketball players, and we got a couple ankle injuries going into our spring training. I'll be a little disappointed, but I think it's probably for a marketing class. Zach was very involved in the Blue Gold game down at Polar for Marcus Andere. So I think it's just a crew for that. And, obviously, you know, and congrats to our basketball team. We haven't touched on that much. What a comeback and fell a little bit short, but GLIAC champ. So, I'm not sure why they didn't have some involved. I'm sure if they're able to, they're pretty busy competing for a championship and making to the NCAAs. And, you know, what a great year for Coach Henninger and that crew. So happy for them. And, we'll gladly cover for them if they keep getting to the NCAA tournament and winning championships.
Yeah. It's kind of strange. Roy said to me coming in here tonight, you got to go all the way to Louisville, Kentucky to play the same team you just played the Sunday afternoon, and that's true, but that's the way when they do this thing, they have 8 teams there in the region, and they balance it out, and number 4 plays number 5, and number 4 is Lake Superior, and number 5 is Ferris State, so
That's crazy setup. And we got to attend about, I don't know, almost the whole first half of that game. And then we had it streaming over at the banquet. It was an unbelievable game. And the Laker fans there in the gym, it was an awesome environment. And there was some strange reffing at that game as well. So it was going around Sault Ste. Marie this weekend. But what a great year. And boy, that comeback. I know everybody there will huddle around the TVs at our banquet and wishing them on. But, I think it sets up well that to play that team again right now. I really like our chances. I think we'll be ready to play them. And there's no way Ferris can make nearly every shot like they did on Sunday afternoon.
Well, yeah, they had a 26-point lead in the first half, and the Lakers still came back and tied them. So if you don't let them get ahead 26 in the first half, you should be able to beat them with that second half effort.
So we'll be rooting for them. That'll be great.
We will all be following that with great anticipation. They will play this weekend. I think Saturday is that first game, the one with Ferris State. Now, the WCHA commissioner said that a goal at the beginning of the season was to put three teams from this league into the NCAA tournament. Now, we know for sure, unless there's major upset, and even if Lake Superior were to beat Minnesota State, Minnesota State's going to be in that tournament, and so is Michigan Tech. Do you think Bowling Green will be a bid there? They'll get a bid, maybe at large?
You know what I do? I do. I think they're in a good enough spot, and I know different people play with the calculator online. I don't have the intelligence or the time to mess with the calculator, but they're in a really good spot. I think they're 11th or 12th as of today. Certainly I think if they take care of business this weekend and we had the unfortunate pleasure of going into Bowling Green last year, in the first round of the playoffs, and boy, do they play. I mean, they're really built to play for playoff, mentality. They're compete, they're skating, and so I know Coach Bergeron will have them ready. So I see them taking care of business this weekend, whether it takes two or three games, we'll see, but that should set them up well enough, and then a loss against, either Tech or Mankato shouldn't drop them much out of that if they can't go on and win it. But, I think they'll be good to go, and, boy, it'd be great for an upset somewhere along the way and put a fourth team in with the auto bid.
Yeah, good. There's some good matchups this week. You get into that middle portion of the playoffs, and it's always a pretty even. That's why you got 4-5, etc. But Ferris State Bemidji could be a really good series, and unfortunate that Alaska is not in the playoffs. But it's fortunate for Lake Superior that Alaska is not in the playoffs, because we get a shot to go to Mankato because of that. But I thought they had a pretty good year, and they're done now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I can't remember if Coach Mitra brought it up, but what a job Coach Ferguson did. Those announcements came out early in the year about their suspension from the NCAA tournament and league playoffs. And, not a lot left to play for that team. So for him to have them finish the way they did and play through it, and I thought Coach Ferguson did a great job with that team. I also like two or three of their players. I think Tyler Morley might be, if not the best player in our league, right up there in the top three or four, and he's a difference maker. You got Perry Aiko on defense, and then Marcus Becerra playing with Morley is two or three just really game-changing players. And if you can get those guys, when you get those guys and develop those guys, they make just a huge difference.
Now, you've been doing a lot of recruiting work in the second half. I've seen a lot of young men in the building, watching practices. And obviously, recruiting's not done. We did have eight young men sign national letters of intent in the early signing period in November. I'm expecting a few more here in April. It's very interesting what's going on. They're not all penciled in to come here this next fall. Some of them are futures. I think that's really interesting because Lake Superior State doesn't do a whole lot of that future type stuff. But it's working out pretty well. We've got some good kids.
Well, yeah, we think so. I mean, that's why we do it. And, recruiting has certainly changed over the years. I mean, years ago, you never dream of doing that. And now, if you don't get involved, it's very difficult. I mean, there's a lot of, we talk about recruiting, a certain league, one of the top known leagues in the States. Most of those kids are committed when they get to that league. So you don't always do a ton in that league. You get them before they even go there. So, there's not a lot of secrets anymore with the way people can travel and, the internet and contacts out there. So we've been aggressive. I think Rich and Pete do just an absolutely phenomenal job of networking with the people they know, different midget coaches, junior coaches. And then, you get either one of those kids in with a kid in a room or a parent, and they do a great job building relationships. So very lucky to have them and the job they do. So, we've been aggressive in that regard. And, I think nearly out of the equation there. So, you know, it takes a lot, and we're working hard, and we're really, really pleased. Some of our signed players are having a great year. One or two of them are banged up here as they're getting into playoffs and have missed some games. A couple of our unsigned players are absolutely tearing it up. And so we're excited about what we're adding with those recruits, and especially when you mix them in with our returning players and what we have back, we think it really bodes well for the direction we're headed.
All right, we're going to take our third break on the show tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about recruiting and the schedule for next year and the short-term goals that the coaching staff has. We'll bring all that up in our final segment. We'll be right back with more from the Antlers Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Restaurant as the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
All righty, back for the final segment of our show tonight, live at the Antlers, and we really appreciate the Antlers sponsoring this show every season. It's a great place to have it, and I think the fans like it as well. And I really like it now that it's staying light till almost 7 o'clock. In fact, it's going to be light till 7:30 tonight, and that's great. But Damon, let's continue. We started to talk a little bit about recruiting. As a coaching staff, I know you guys talk all the time, and what are the short-range goals for this team right now? What are we looking for next season to make this be a better hockey team?
Recruiting-wise in particular?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're pretty much wrapped up. You know, at this point, I think really all you look for now is if there's somebody that really makes your team better, and there's not a lot of those kids out there like that this late in the process. People who follow recruiting see more and more now, though, what we call players getting pushed back. He's committed to a certain school and they don't have room, or they're anticipating maybe an early departure that didn't happen. Play another year, and that player says, well, no, I don't want to. You know, I'm going to look and go somewhere else and get out of my commitment. So, you know, so you've got to stay on it and working the phones and the contacts to see what the rumblings are out there that way. And, stay involved. But I think at this point, you know, we're happy with what we have coming in. We like a lot of our pieces coming back. I mean, some great growth in some of our players and some really great things happening, you know, within our team to continue to build on. So, you know, right now, if anything's added, it's most likely, you know, what you know, we might need some guys late if some players decide to sign early potentially, or decide, you know, they're going to look elsewhere from within our program.
Yeah, you get a kid right now, you've got a number of commitments that are verbal commitments from young men who want to come here next year. They say they do, but until they sign in April, somebody else could jump in there, some big name school, and say, hey, you're having a pretty good finish here. We want you to come and play for us and steal the guy away. And
well,
that's happened before.
Oh, you know, yeah, that's a great point. You know, and in college hockey, we have a so-called gentleman's agreement. And
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, there's some gentlemanly staffs out there, and there's some not-so-gentlemanly staffs out there. So, you know, it's some, like I said, some staffs are great about it. They see a kid's committed, they're not going to sniff around or do anything. But there's also staffs that are well known for, you know, actively pursuing a kid who's got a verbal commitment to our program or whatever program it is. So yeah, you never know on that end as well. So it's scary. You know, we've got one of those verbals that's just absolutely tearing it up, and we'd like to hurry up and get to April and get him signed and make sure we know he's coming in next year.
Yeah, it's the middle of April before you can get that taken care of too, and that's more than a month. And if he's tearing it up, somebody's going to be noticing those sorts of things. Let's hope they people who are noticing it either already have a full roster, or that it's not somebody who would do something a little bit under the table on that one. How about scheduling for next year? People always ask about this. This year's schedule was not very good for us. We didn't have that many home games. It's always tough to get non-conference home games. And I know next year at this point that we are going to Portland, Maine to play in a tournament with the University of Maine and a few other teams, I assume. And then Vermont at Christmas, which will be interesting. A holiday tournament at Vermont should be nice. And then we play at MSU next year. Your alma mater, Tom Anestis, is taking us on, and he's going to come and play here in 2 years' time. Do we have a home series at this point set up for Lake Superior next year?
For next year. Yeah, we have Arizona State's going to be coming in as well. I think I'm missing one other one, but Arizona State will be coming in, and We don't have a return date set up yet. We're hoping the next couple of years, January, February, we'll head out there and return that. But they'll be coming up as well. So that'll be interesting. You know, like recruiting, scheduling is 2, 3, 4 years out. Some schools 5, 6 years out. So it can be difficult to kind of catch up and get that going. So that's an area when we wrap up and getting down to our convention in April, you know, we really got to make some hay down there in terms of setting up some relationships and some home and homes to fill our home slate a little bit better. You know, Jeff is on record. Jeff Jackson wants to return a trip up here at someday. They're 5, 6 years out. But you know, Jeff thinks it's important that he brings his team back up here. And, you know, obviously so much of his career is due to his time here at Lake State. So, he's been great. We are going to go down to their tournament for a few years in a row. I think after next season. So, Jeff's been really good. And then again, hopefully we can get Notre Dame up here at some point, but it is difficult. You know, teams are 5, 6 years out. That's going to come to a head a little bit too. You look at, the pairwise today. And you look at the NCHC, they've got 5 or 6 teams in the top 8 or 9. Well, if you go through their games and what they're doing, they're buying games. So I think 1 or 2 of them have played maybe 2, maybe 4 non-conference road games, loading up on 8 or about 8 non-conference home games, really jumps their pairwise up. So there's a lot of issues we've got to work through as a body down there to reestablish a little bit better parity. Because certainly a huge advantage to a team like North Dakota, who can have a huge guarantee, a huge payout to bring teams in, and then barely has to travel and to really build their pairwise up. So it's a really tough issue in college hockey right now with some of that going on.
Yeah, that'll be an issue for the coaches meeting. It'll come up in April down in Florida. And there'll be a lot of yelling and hollering there, maybe some wrestling going on in the room. But hopefully we can work all these things out. Now, you said earlier on a show a few weeks ago that you kind of got an agreement going with Mel and with Northern Michigan at this point that if they're not playing us 4 times during the year, maybe we'd play a non-conference series. Is that going to happen next year? One of them?
Yeah, no, it's just more talk. It's not set up for sure. Okay. Northern Michigan, we do have. Walt and I have a non-conference home and home date set up. So there's another home date for next year. Again, you know, a lot of that is, trying to protect our student athletes with some of the travel we have to do with our locations. And,
good move.
It's tough. And so you're finding somebody geographically, you know, that doesn't beat you up. You know, I toss around one of my former players, Adam Krug, at Adrian, and this year you saw Wisconsin play St. Norbert's for 2 games, and Adrian, I don't know if they're in the Frozen Four or what it is, but Adam Krug is interested in coming up. I think it'd be great for Division III in the state of Michigan to help promote Division III hockey, so it's something we gotta explore a little bit. He's a former player and have a good relationship. Like I said, Wisconsin played St. Norbert last year, and, you know, so that's something to look at some point as well. I'd like to maybe in one of our bye week schedule 1 game potentially and help them out. But I think it'd be great for Michigan to enhance Division III hockey and give our kids in state more opportunities. You go to Wisconsin, you go to Minnesota, you go out east, there's so many opportunities for your homegrown kids to play Division III hockey in state, and I think we could do a better job in Michigan, hoping some other programs add. So there's different things you want to look at and explore, but Mel and I have just said if it works out, you know, in certain years or whatever, we'll definitely look to do it, and that'd be one of the first things we'd like to do instead of adding more travel and wear and tear on our players.
Yeah, that makes really good common sense there. But Arizona State is coming in here next year.
Yes.
Can you remember what time of year that will be?
Oh, I have it in the office, Bill, but it's early. It's, you know, before you get to your normal conference slate, so it does happen a little bit early in the year, when those first few weeks.
And are you going back out to play them at their place?
At some point. We haven't found a year or a date. Like I said, we're fighting for February.
Make it fast. I'm getting old.
Yeah. So we're working on that. And then we also have the national program coming up for we'd like to do our Blue Gold game in conjunction with the Blue Line Club on our opening date. And then the next night, the national program is coming over. They're going to be in Northern the night before.
Oh, that's right.
So we'll have the national program up as well.
The under-18s, they're always a challenge. They're very good players. They're setting up right now for their big world tournament coming up in the month of April. We're just about out of time here tonight. We have enjoyed this show all season. We're going to have a final show, or maybe not. Maybe we'll have another show after that. Maybe we'll have at least 2 more.
3 more.
But we're definitely going to be here next Monday night, so make your plans for that. And, Damon, I always appreciate you being here. We didn't have a player tonight, but there's always lots to talk about. We could keep talking for another hour here very easily, but we're out of time. I want to thank everybody for being here live tonight. Chris Sable for sponsoring us. Mark for being here. And we'll be back next Monday night with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.